Welcome back to the show. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. We've been rounding out our year with a series of conversations on everything from the economy and politics to arts and medicine. Jason Cohn has been with Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, for more than a decade, and he became executive director this past June, a few months before the deadly bombing by U.S. forces on their main hospital in Kunduz in Afghanistan. John Hockenberry sat down with Jason Cohn to talk about how world conflicts are shaping the program's mission and if Doctors Without Borders has to find a balance between epidemics and war zones.
There is very much a mix, I think, within our programs. Really the core bread and butter of our organization, which is being at the heart of conflict. Some places have obviously been more difficult to reach, like Syria, but also treating these diseases that are really killing people oftentimes as much as the bullets and bombs that are flying.
How did the Kunduz situation this year cause you to fear even more for the personnel that you have in harm's way?
Well, unfortunately, we have kind of a grim update to make on that. In fact, the casualty toll is now has gone up to 42 people. So we had 14 staff killed, 24 patients, 4 caretakers. So it's the largest loss of life for our organization in a single incident, an airstrike. What I think has been most destabilizing for us is that the Kunduz Hospital had been there for 4 years. It was really kind of an oasis in an otherwise unstable area where you had people being treated from all sides. And even in the days leading up to the bombing, we had Afghan army forces who were wounded who retreated there, later Taliban. And in the mix of that, people just caught up in the crossfire, civilians, men, women, children. And so it was a bit of a shattering of our sense of security, I think, in the sense that we had done everything we could in terms of being in touch with U.S. forces, NATO, Afghan opposition forces in the Taliban. When they took over the city, some of their commanders came to our facility, told us to continue our work, did not enter the facility with weapons, respected our most basic provisions of just respecting the sanctity of the hospital and not interfering with the medical care. So to have it bombed in this way, it moves the ground beneath your feet. In those 2 months since the attack, we've seen two of our facilities struck in Yemen. And I think, as you're aware, in Syria, hitting hospitals and killing patients and doctors is pretty much part and parcel of the war. And we've had a facility that was effectively hit twice, a so-called double tap, if you will, where when the first responders came to pick up the wounded, they were hit again when they brought them to the facility. We're very much in a very difficult moment for healthcare workers around the world, not just MSF, Syrian health workers on the front line doing incredibly brave work are really in the crosshairs.
As you spend a longer amount of time in a country like Afghanistan, 4 years in the case of the Kunduz Hospital, do you run the risk of being accused of patching up enemy fighters and sending them out to rejoin the Taliban, and that almost anyone can make that claim, and then that claim becomes an argument for some officer to send an airstrike over the hospital?
What you're alluding to, I think, is really a moment that we're in where there are real questions about the respect for the Geneva Conventions, which, you know, as medical professionals in our organization, they're not supposed to ask questions about who they're treating. This is the medical imperative, their ethical obligations through a Hippocratic Oath to do their work. And we can't be in a position to determine who gets treatment because that's a breach of our responsibilities. In fact, if we're working from the same set of rules, our staff would be guilty of a war crime, of denying care to anyone. And not providing it on the basis of the need alone. And so I think combatants are bound by those rules. We're bound by them as well. It's our duty to keep our facilities free of weapons. For us, it's as much about our security as anyone else's and our patients to ensure that our facilities are there just to treat the patients.
How important is awareness and making people understand what the nuts and bolts of humanitarian work is, particularly on the medical side?
It's critical. I mean, right now we have 60 million people who've been forced to flee their home because of violence or persecution. I think it's important, particularly in this moment, as we see an incredible amount of fear in the United States and elsewhere, following the attacks on Paris and in San Bernardino, that we recognize the people that are trying to reach our borders, the vast majority of them, they are fleeing essentially a Paris every day of their lives right now. They're bombed consistently in Syria, in Yemen. We have people walking across Iran from Afghanistan. We have people who've been warehoused effectively in refugee camps from Somalis, who've been in Kenya for over 20 years in Darfur, places we've forgotten about that are still very much at the heart of a war. And they're taking desperate measures, and their families and their children. It's not an easy step to have to take your children on a rickety boat to try and cross the Mediterranean. It is a last desperate act. Engaging the public, particularly in a moment where the fears that are perpetuating, that are bouncing around, are creating a situation where we're gonna deny these people who really need safety an opportunity to seek that.
Do you like this job?
Absolutely. I mean, I have the privilege of working with some of the most courageous and dedicated people that you can imagine. I mean, they are willing to put their lives at risk for strangers, people they've never met before. You know, they go to the field sometimes up to a year, sometimes longer, living in very rustic conditions. I've been with them in places like in South Sudan, which is in a brutal war again right now. You know, they are some of the most committed and inspirational people I have a chance to work with.
Next year, that map will shrink or grow larger, do you think?
Keep in mind, alongside the conflict, we're in a situation where there are still many millions of people who lack access to basic medicine, right? So you've got a situation where 50% of our patients who are treated for drug-resistant tuberculosis, they fail the treatment. We are seeing malaria in places in Sudan, in the Nuba Mountains, that we haven't seen malaria before. So you have adults who are getting malaria. Too many children worldwide who are not getting vaccinated against the most basic diseases, things we should be really wiping out. Then you have newer vaccines like the pneumococcal, so to prevent against pneumonia. Those vaccines alone, because the costs that are conferred by these vaccines that are being sold at such high prices, means that the cost of vaccinating a child in a developing country is about 68 times what it was a decade ago. You have 1 million kids dying every year needlessly from pneumonia-related disease. So, you know, we have trends where you've got people caught in conflict. They don't have access to the kinds of medicines they need that we could provide them preventatively with. And then you have attacks on medical facilities. So it's really a witch's brew of things that we see happening in the world today. That said, more could be done. We could be doing more, I think, in a lot of places if we had the access.
Jason Cohn is executive director for Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.